This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam ajma'in. I wanted to start today's dars with an interesting fatwa that's narrated in the fatwa collection Al-Mi'yar al-Mu'rib wal-Jami' al-Mughrib an Fatawa Ulama Ifriqiya wal-Andalusi wal-Maghrib. Al-Mi'yar al-Mu'rib is a collection of fatwa and legal rulings, court precedents, etc. from the ulama of North Africa and West Africa and Andalus. It was put together by Al-Imam Al-Wansharisi. Wansharisi is a scholar who was from what is now modern-day Algeria, and he served in a court near his home, and he gave a fatwa that the local ruler didn't like. So the ruler says that I'm not going to kill you, but you have to leave right now. You have to get out. If I see you again, that's it. So he left. One of his students was in Fas in Morocco. And so he went to his student, who was a very wealthy student. So he says, okay, just stay with me and do whatever you like. So he says, well, I want access to libraries. So he gave him access to the big libraries of Fas. And so what he would do is just read books all day. And then he gathered together these different fatawa and different legal rulings about different things. And he put together quite an interesting collection. Interesting not only because of what it teaches you about fiqh, but also in general what it teaches you about deen. And it has a lot of very interesting cultural snapshots about that period. So this is not something completely unrelated to Maliki fiqh, although it's not going to be something that you pull out of the, you know, kind of the book on Tahara and Salat. Kind of going with the theme that we talked about last time about impressing what the importance of this knowledge is and how it's actually relevant to something that people need in their lives. So this fatwa, مُصْلِحٌ مِنْ قَبِيلَةِ جُزْنَايَ يُقَاوِمُهُ الْعَكَّازِيُونَ فِي مُنْتَصِفِ الْقَرْنِ الثَّامِنِ. So the title of this subheading is the fatwa regarding a man who is trying to make islah and correct a society who belongs to the tribe of the Juznaya, and he's being opposed by the people of the tribe of Akkaz or Ukkaz. I don't really know. Some of these names may actually be Berber names. I don't know what the proper vowelling of it is. Maybe if somebody's listening knows what the names of these tribes are in Morocco or wherever, they can let me know. And this is, it's an incident that happened in the middle of the 8th century. So 750 years about 13, the middle of the 1300s. وسئل الفقيه الحافظ أبو العباس القباب عن مسألتي رجل يقال له داود بن الحسن وهو جزنائي النسب. The faqih and the hafiz of hadith Abu al-Abbas al-Qabbab was asked about the legal question regarding a man that's called Dawood bin Ibn al-Hasan from the tribe of Juznaya. وَدِينُهُمْ كَمَا عَرَفْتُمْ وَلَا تَخْفَى عَلَيْكُمْ أُمُورُهُمْ. And so the questioner says, you know the Juznaya, that their deen is, you know what the situation of their deen is, and it's not hidden from anyone, their affair is not hidden from anyone. Basically he's saying that they're not very religious people in general as a tribe. وَأَحْدَثَ عَلَيْنَا بِذَلِكَ أُمُورًا تَشَتَّتَتْ بِهَا شَمْلُنَا وَرَاغَ إِلَى مَذْهَبِهِ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ وَشَرَعَ أُمُورًا لَمْ نَسْمَعْهَا نَحْنُ وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ. So he said that he has brought in new matters amongst us because of which our unity has been fractured, and many people have inclined toward his way of doing things. And he has started amongst us many different affairs. We never heard about them, nor have our forefathers before us. ولم نسمع أحدا من أهل العلم ولا أحدا من أهل الفضل والدين أمر بها. And the things he brought in, we never heard anyone from the people of knowledge, nor anyone from the people of virtue and deen from before ever having commanded to them. ولم نسمع من أحد أنه غيرها وجعلها هو بدعة جعلها هو بدعة ومن تبعها عاص. And we never heard anyone change the things that were there from before, to the point where many things that we do, he calls them a bid'ah, and whoever follows them is disobeying Allah Ta'ala. ومن جملة من ما يخبر أن أنكر على الفقراء الذكر بالمداومة والشطح والتصفيق والتدونين والترانين في بعض النسخ. That he forbade the people, the murids, from الذكر بالمداومة. I don't exactly know, but he says, I think it means like the state of constantly being in dhikr, with tasfiq and clapping and singing. وحلق الرأس, and from shaving the head. وقال ذلك بدعة, and he says these things are بدعة. وتقليم اللقم وغير ذلك مما لا يخفى عليكم من أمور الفقراء. And a number of other things. تلقيم اللقم. A number of other things that are known to be from the signs of the pious. وربما ظهر لبعض الفقراء كرامات وقال إن ذلك من إبليس وإن أفعالهم بدعة ونسب طريقهم إلى البدعة وغلظ عليهم وأخمد أفعالهم. That even some of the murids, they're so pious, they perform miracles, and he says all of your miracles are from Iblis, and the things that you're doing are impious innovations in the deen. And he basically attributed their entire way of doing things to bid'ah, and he was harsh about them, he snuffs out their deeds, whatever they're doing. ومن ذلك أيضا أن قطع مخالطة الرجال مع النساء وغض البصر. And just like that, he stopped and forbade the men from mixing with the women, and commands to lowering the gaze. وقطع كلام النساء من حيث يسمع الرجال الرجال كلامهن خيفة الفتنة ولم نسمع أحدا أمر بذلك إلا هذا المذكور. And he also claims that women should not speak in front of men, and that there's fear that if the women chat openly in front of the men, it's going to become a fitna. And we never heard anyone give this command before or talk about this before. ومن ذلك أنه يأمر كل من أتاه وتاب على يديه أن يصحح توبته بشرائطها وأن من شرائطها الندم الندم على ما فات من تضييع فرائض الله عز وجل والإخلاص فيما يفعل وترك الرياء والرياسة والكبر والحسد والغيبة والنميمة والعجب. And from what he commands us to is, or commands to is, whoever comes to him, he makes sure that that person has made makes tawbah at his hands. He makes sure that that person does the tawbah correctly with all of its conditions. And he says that not only do you have to feel bad about what you did wrong, but you also have to, fulfill whatever haqq has been left, including the haqq of Allah Ta'ala in terms of fara'id. So you have to make up, he says you have to make up your prayers and fasts and things like that. You can't just make tawbah and bounce. and that a person has to have complete ikhlas in everything that that you do, and that a person is not allowed to show off, and that a person is not allowed to seek leadership, which is funny, mashallah. Very few people, like if you tell most people that nowadays, if you say you're not allowed to seek leadership, they kind of freak out. So these guys are freaking out. This guy told us we're not allowed to seek leadership or be arrogant or have jealousy for one another or backbite people or tail bear or think highly of ourselves. وَأَلَّا نَسْعَى بِقَدَمَيْهِ فِي مَا لَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ. That a person, he says that you're not allowed to, it's haram even to walk toward with your own two feet toward that which is haram. وَلَا يَسْمَعُ بِسَمْعِهِ مَا لَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ. And he constantly talks about that it's haram to listen to those things that are haram. وَزَعْمَ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ شَرَائِطِ التَّوْبَةِ. That to accept all of these things in your heart, this is a condition of true tawbah. If you don't accept these things, then your tawbah is bogus. That's what he says. وَأَنَّ فِعْلَ هَذِهِ الْأَشْيَاءِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ مِنْ آفَاتِ الدِّينِ. And that all of these things, if someone should do one of them, he claims that this is like a destruction and a calamity for someone's deen. وَيَنْهَاهُ عَنْ مُخَالَطَةِ الْغُصَابِ وَأَكْلِ طَعَامِهِمْ وَأَكْلِ طَعَامِ مُسْتَغْرِقِ الذِّمَمِ. And he also forbids a person who comes and makes tawbah at his hands from mixing with brigands, people who basically rob one another for a living, or to eat their food, or eat the food of anyone who doesn't fulfill the rights of others. وَزَعْمَ أَنَّهُ السُنَّةُ الَّتِي أَمَرَ بِهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And he says that this is the sunnah, he claims that this is the sunnah that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded to. ثُمَّ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَخَذَ عَفْوًا يَسْتَفْصِلُ مِنْ كُلِّ مِنْ sorry يَسْتَفْصِلُ مَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ رَجُلًا بَعْدَ رَجُلٍ فِي مُعَامَلَاتِهِمْ فِي الْبُيُوعِ وَالنَّقْدِ وَالنَّسِيئَةِ وَالشَّرِكَاتِ وَالرُّهُونِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ سَائِرِ الْمُعَامَلَاتِ وَمُعَامَلَاتُهُمْ بِالنَّاقِصِ وَالرَّدِّ فِيهِ وَعُقُودُ الصِّرْفِ كَيْفَ يَفْعَلُونَ صَرْفِ عَفْوًا كَيْفَ يَفْعَلُونَ فِيهَا وَالسَّلَفُ جَرٌّ مَنْفَعُهُ فَوَجَدَ كَثِيرًا مِنْهُمْ مُعَامَلَاتُهُمْ رِبًا. So he then also, the person who comes and makes tawbah at his hands, what does he do? He starts to ask them details about their dealings. Person after person, he'll ask them details about their dealings with other people, their business transactions, in terms of how they accept cash for sales, and do they transact in riba, how do they transact their partnerships, how do they deal with collateral, and other things like that from business dealings. And this edition of the book is unfortunate. It carries a lot of mistakes. You kind of have to read through them sometimes. So he looks through like he looks through their transactions, contracts they've signed. How are they executing exchange? Like, you know, nowadays we have currency exchanges. In the old days, people used to just transact in gold and silver and things like that. So the exchanges of gold and silver, it's not treated like a normal sale. So how are those sales transactions executed? فَوَجَدَ كَثِيرًا مِنْ مُعَامَلَاتِهِمْ رِبًا. And he found that many of them, the way that they do business, it's just different types of riba. وَأَخَذَ أَيْضًا يَسْتَفْصِلُهُمْ فِي الْيَمِينِ بِاللَّهِ فَوَجَدَ قَدْ تَرَتَّبَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْأَيْمَانِ. And he also investigates the details with them with regards to swearing oaths by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he found that many of them have broken a number of oaths and have to give the kafarat for that, to make those up as well. وَزَعْمَ أَنَّهُ وَجَدَهُمْ قَدْ اسْتَغْرَقَ الرِّبَا أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَالْكَفَّارَاتِ. And he basically investigated to the point where he found that most of the people's wealth is riba and the amount of their wealth which is riba and the amount of their wealth which they owe as expiations is greater than the amount of clean wealth that they own. فَفَيَّأَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالُهُمْ بَعْدَ أَنْ حَسَبَ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى مَا تَرَتَّبَتْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الرِّبَى وَغَيْرِهِ مِنَ التَّبِعَاتِ أو تبعات. فَمَنْ وُجِدَ اسْتُغْرِقَ مَالُهُ بِمَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ أَمَرَهُ بِالصَّرْفِ ذَلِكَ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ. And so basically, he found that like all these people have all this money that's for whatever reason, it's just haram money. So he commands them to just take all that money and give it out to the poor and the needy and the destitute. وَأَمَرَهُ أَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ الْكَفَارَاتِ إِنْ أَحَبَّ أَوْ يَصُومَ أَوْ يَصُومَ فِي الْحَالِ. And he said that the person who has expiations due to broken oaths that they made, he told them, pay, you know, get rid of the riba first. And if you wish to, you can make up your expiation through fasting instead of payment, or if you wish to, you just pay later. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَيْضًا إِذَا وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ مِّمَّنْ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيُرِيدُ أَنْ يُقِيمَ عِنْدَهُ وَيَتَمَادَى عَلَى قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ يَقُولُ لَهُ لَا يَجُوزُ لَكَ أَنْ تَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ وَأَنْتَ جَاهِلٌ بِفَرْضِ الْعَيْنِ مِمَّا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَحْكَامِ الْوُضُوءِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ فُرُوضِ الْعَيْنِ وَأَمَّا الْقُرْآنُ فَنَافِلَةٌ إِلَّا أُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَإِنَّهَا فَرْضٌ وَسُورَةٌ مَعَهَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ السُّنَّةِ. So he says, and also from his affair is that whenever one of the Quran reciters comes to him and stays with him, he'll tell him, it's haram for you to just continue to recite the Quran as a profession and to teach it and learn it, I suppose, as long as you are ignorant of the fard ayn, those bare minimum things from the sharia which Allah Ta'ala made everybody legally responsible to know, which includes the rulings of wudu and salat and fasting and other things that are individual responsibilities to know. And as for reciting the Quran, all of it is a nafil, it's all optional, except for the recitation of the Fatiha and a surah with it, which is then a sunnah. The recitation of the Fatiha being a fard, and learning at least a surah being a sunnah for your prayers. وَيَأْمُرُهُ أَيْضًا بِمُجَاهَدَةِ النَّفْسِ وَرِيَاضَاتِهَا وَتَطْهِيرِهَا مِنْ آفَاتِهَا الْمَذْمُومَةِ فِي الشَّرَائِعِ كَالْعُجُبِ وَالرِّيَاءِ وَالْحَسَدِ وَالْكِبْرِ وَالْ غَضَبِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَذْمُومَاتِ. And he also commands people to strive against the nafs and to work it, to exercise it, meaning to put it through difficulty, and to purify it from those calamities that are blameworthy that reside inside of it, like being impressed with oneself or showing off, or having hasad, envy, or arrogance, or anger, and other things like that, from those things that are blameworthy. وَتَرْكُ الْغِيبَةِ وَالنَّمِيمَةِ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ. And he also forces them to stop making ghiba, stop backbiting, and stop tail-bearing against one another. مِمَّا يَكْثُرُ تِعْدَادُهُ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ. And many other things than that, from a number of things that he claims are haram. وَيَقُولُ هَذَا هُوَ الْفَرْضُ عَلَيْكَ وَأُمُّ الْقُرْآنِ. So he says to the Qur'an reciters that this is what's fard on you, and on top of that, the Fatiha. وَمَا زَادَ عَلَى فَرْضِ الْعَيْنِ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ الشَّرْعِيَةِ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ فَرْضُ كِفَايَةِ. And as far as everything else that's knowledge of the sharia, other than that, it's a fard kifaya. If someone else is taking care of it, you're not responsible. وَزَعَمَ أَنَّ هَذَا هُوَ الشَّرْعُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And he claims that this is the proper and straight sharia. انظر يا سيدي كيف جعل القرآن الذي هو أفضل العبادات نافلة ويقول له إذا حصل لك ما ذكرت لك فحينئذ ترجع إلى النافلة إن أحببت. So Sidi, tell me, how could he say that about the Quran, which is the best of the worship of Allah Ta'ala? He calls it a nafil, and he says that these other things that I said that are fard, if you can fulfill those things, then after that you can go back to the Quran. You can go back to the Quran, which is a nafil for you if you wish to. وَجَعَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ يَقْرَؤُونَ رِسَالَةَ وَبَعْضُهُمْ يَقْرَؤُونَ قَوَاعِدِ عِيَاضٍ مَعَ مُجَاهَدَةِ النَّفْسِ. And he even made some of the Quran reciters, he is engaged their time in reading the Risala and in reading the Qawa'id of Qadi Iyad while putting them through different mujahadat, the struggles against their own nafs. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَيْضًا أَنَّهُ أَمَرَ كُلَّ مَنْ تَابَ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ أَلَّا يُزَوِّجَ بْنَتَهُ أَوْ وَلِيَّتُهُ لِلْفَاسِقِ كَالْحَالِفِ بِالطَّلَاقِ وَالْغَاصِبِ وَالسَّارِقِ وَآكِلِ الرِّبَى وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. And from amongst that, he also makes the people who take Tawbah at his hands, he makes them or prohibits them from marrying their daughters or from marrying those ladies that are under their wilaya to a person who sins openly or like the one who is habitually takes the half at-talaq, like, oh, come to my house. If you don't come to my house, I'll divorce my wife. Or if you don't do this, I'll divorce my wife. Or if this doesn't happen, I'll divorce my wife. Which is an unfortunate habit of certain people, cultural habit of certain people, or just bad personal habit of certain people. Just yesterday, someone called me with this issue, and it just seems really silly. And it's a sin also, as you can tell from the siyaq of the istifta. وَالْغَاسِبِ وَالسَّارِقِ, that he forbids those people who take Tawbah at his hands from marrying their daughters and the women in their charge to people who are brigands or thieves or those who eat the money of riba or other types of sin like that. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَيْضًا أَنَّهُ قَالَ كُلُّ طَالِبٍ لَا يَحْجُبُ زَوْجَتُهُ وَلَا يرد بصره عن المحارم ولا يترك الغيبة وغير ذلك إنه فاسق مجرح الشهادة or مجرح الشهادة ولا تجوز إمامته. And he says that every person, even if he's a student of knowledge, if he gives his wife permission to go out without covering, or if he, which is different than if a person doesn't give the permission, if he gives his wife permission to go out without covering, or he doesn't turn his sight away from those things that Allah Ta'ala made haram, or he doesn't leave ghiba, he doesn't leave backbiting, or other things like that, that person is a fasiq, he is a profligate, and his shahada, his witness, is not acceptable in court, and it is not permissible to take him as an imam. وَمِنْ جُمْلَةِ أَفْعَالِهِ إِذَا صَلَّى بِالنَّاسِ أَوْ أَخَذَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ وَثَبَ قَائِمًا مِنْ مُصَلَّاهُ وَلَا يَدْعُو لِلنَّاسِ فَأَنْكَرُوا عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ. When he, this is actually something that happened to me at MSI, I guess. when he's done with the salat, he gets up directly and he doesn't make dua after the prayer. So one uncle got up on me about that. So I'm like, it's not a sunnah. And he's like, no, it's very important. You're making things up. Everyone does it. So he's like, okay. So for ankaru alayhi dhalika, so people are like, what is this? He doesn't make dua after the prayer. وَقَالَ هَذَا مِنَ السُّنَّةِ, and he says, no, this is the sunnah to not make a collective dua after every prayer. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يَدْعُوا فَلْيَفْعَلْ, and whoever wants to make dua, they're allowed to, let them make their own dua, inshallah. وَمِنْ جُمْلَةِ مَا تَرَكَ تَصْبِيحَ الْمُؤَذِّنِ عِنْدَ أَذَانِ الصُّبْحِ فَأَمَرَ مُؤَذَّنَ مَوْضِعِهِ بِالْأَذَانِ خَاسَةً. So the another thing that he did was that he made the muadhin stop making tasbih in the morning time, and said, just make the adhan and that's it. This is a thing that happens in many parts of the Muslim world. The muadhin will like add their own kind of like burger and fries and a drink with the adhan, and they'll do like some things before and do some things after, and then they'll do some things to wake people up, and they'll make their announcements and God knows what. So he said that he stopped the muadhin of our area from doing that. He said, just give the adhan, that's enough. That's all. فَقَالَ هَذَا هُوَ السُنَّةُ, he said that this is the sunnah. إِلَّا أَن يَضْطَرُّ إِلَى التَّسْبِيحِ عَلَى جِهَةِ الْإِعْلَامِ وَلَا يَعْتَقِدُ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ السُنَّةُ. Even though the muadhin was just making the tasbihat as a way of announcing to people to wake up for Fajr, he's not saying it's a sunnah per se. وَمِنْ أَفْعَالِهِ إِذَا لَقِيَهُ أَحَدُهُمْ صَافَحَهُ وَلَمْ يُقَبِّلْ يَدَهُ وَقَالَ تَقْبِيلُ الْيَدِ مَكْرُوهُ. He said, and also from the weird things that he does is that when people meet him, he tells them just to shake hands, not to kiss his hand, because the kissing of the hand is, he considers it makruh. وَأَنْكَرَ أَيْضًا, and he also وَأَنْكَرَ أَيْضًا مَا يَسْتَعْمِلُهُ النَّاسُ مِنَ الْمَسَاءِ وَالصَّبَاحِ وَتَرْكُ السَّلَامِ وَقَالَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ بِدْعَةٌ وَالسُّنَّةُ إِنَّمَا هِيَ السَّلَامِ. And he also told people to stop saying the special greetings of the evening and of the morning, and just says all these things are bid'ah, and the only sunnah is to say assalamu alaikum. So he stopped people from saying khudafiz, I guess. I don't know. وَثُمَّ أَيْضًا إِنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ زَوَّجَ ابْنَتَهُ بِرُبْعِ دِينَارٍ فَلَمْ يُنْكِرْ عَلَيْهِ بَلْ حَمِدَ فِعْلَهُ مَعَ أَنَّ أَحَدًا لَمْ يَسْمَعْ فِعْلَ مِثْلِ ذَلِكَ فِي بَلَدِنَا قَطُّ. And so some of the people that he hangs out with, when they married their daughters, they married them for a quarter of a dinar mahar. Right? For which is the minimum in the madhab, that's the minimum amount the mahar can be validly. If there's a mahar that's set less than that, the qadi will force sadaq al-mithl, that amount is not accepted, and then whatever the normal mahar would be for a marriage like that, it will be instated if you choose an amount lower than that. So he says that this person is complaining that this guy is, some of his associates, they married their daughters for a quarter of a dinar as mahar, and he says that that's a good thing, even though nobody in our lands ever does that. That's not a normal custom for us. وَيُنْصِبُونَ أَفْعَالَهُمْ إِلَى الْبِدْعَةِ لِكَوْنِهِمْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَسْمَعْ بِهَذَا كَمَا ذَكَرْنَا لَكُمْ. And he says that our customs are a bid'ah whenever we say we never heard of this practice before amongst our people. وَلِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا هَذَا دِينُ الْجُزْنَايَةِ. And he also calls it a bid'ah whenever we tell them that we don't need your whatever all your ideas about deen, because you're from the tribe of the Juznaya, and it's known that you're all fusaq. وكانت العامة يصغون ويميلون إلى أقوال هؤلاء الطلبة المذكورين ويحذرون العوام من هذا الشخص. So the people are, the generality of the people, they listen to what our, this guy who's making the complaint, what quote-unquote our ulama say, and when our ulama warn the people about this person. وَمَا أَخَذَ فِيهِ وَقَدْ أَشْكَلَ عَلَيْنَا مَا يَأْمُرُنَا وَمَا يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. And however, he confuses us with these things that he commands us to and prohibits us from. عرفنا من أشياخ إقليمنا الذين بهم نمطر وبهم يدفع عنا البلاء يحذرون من هذا المذكور ويقولون هو صاحب البدعة. And we know from the mashayikh in our area, those people who are so pious that because of their barakah, the rain comes down. And because of them, Allah Ta'ala wards off calamity from us. That they say that they warn us against this person and say, stay away from him. وَأَشْكَلَ عَلَيْنَا أَنَّهُ إِذَا رَفَعَ إِلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الْعَكَّازِيُّونَ الَّذِينَ يطعنون عليه في أحكامه يقول لهم هؤلاء الذين يطعنون في أحكام الشرعي دجاجلة. And it's also he vexes us when someone says from the ulama of the Akaziyun that say that this guy's ahkam are wrong. He says that those people who are saying that these ahkam that I'm telling you are wrong, all of them follow the Sharia of Dajjal. They're all Dajjals themselves. فَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمْ أَيُّهَا الْعَامَّةُ ظُهُورَ الْحَقِّ فَاسْأَلُوا الْفُقَهَا الْمُبَرِّزِينَ. And he says to the awam, to the generality, to the masses, when this confusion comes, he says, look, if you guys want to know who's on the haqq and who's telling the truth and who's not, then why don't you ask the great fuqaha, the top carnivores of fiqh, whoever they are, go to the big cities and ask the muftis that are there. Yuftunakum bihi ma falladhi yuftunakum bihi wajaba alaykum atba'uhu ittiba'uhu wahjaru at-ta'in في الأحكام الشرعية من الطلبة والفقراء حتى يتوب من الطعن في الشرع. And he says that whatever, go to them and ask them what the truth is, and whatever they tell you, then follow it. And whoever is amongst the فقراء and amongst the students, whoever is the one who is actually messing with the أحكام of Deen, leave that person until that person makes tawbah from messing with the ahkam of the sharia. وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَن تَقْتَدُوا إِلَّا بِالْأَيِّمَّةِ الْمُفْتِينَ الْمَعْرُوفِينَ بِالدِّينِ وَالْفَتْوَى وَالْعَدَالَةِ الْمَشْهُورِينَ فِي الْأَمْصَارِ الَّذِينَ ذُبُّوا عَنِ الدِّينِ وَنَصَرُوهُ. So he says that it is incumbent, I warn you, that you should only follow the people who are the great imams and people, ulama, who are well known for their deen and for their taqwa and for their uprightness, that are well known amongst the all of the lands of the Muslims, those people who are completely dissolved in the deen and they perform its service always. فَكْشِفُوا لَنَا عَنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ الَّذِي الْتَبَسَ عَلَيْنَا وَحَارَتْ فِيهِ عُقُولُنَا. So this complainant is asking then the muftis of Fas. He says, so uncover the reality of this affair that has caused us confusion and vexed our intellects. مِمَّا يَأْمُرُ بِهِ هَذَا الشَّخْصِ, with regards to the things that this man is commanding to. وَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ فِي الْحُكْمِ الشَّرْعِ إِنْ كَانَتْ أَفْعَالُهُ بِدَعَةٌ وَمَا يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ. And how should we punish this man if it's true that what he's doing is a bid'ah and he's calling people toward bid'ah? وَإِنْ كَانَتْ أَفْعَالُهُ مُوَافَقَةً لِلسُّنَّةِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَعَرَّضَ لَهُ مِنَ الطَّلَبَةِ الْمَذْكُورِينَ وَطَعْنَ فِي أَفْعَالِهِ. And if it turns out that this guy is actually calling us to the sunnah, then what should be the punishment that we should give, meet out to those students who said that this guy is messing with deen? Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. So it's a long complaint. And I want you to notice that probably 80% of the things that he's complaining about is like actually stuff that mashallah, would be a complaint of many people nowadays, except for in those days they had the common sense of like going to a mufti and asking. They said, okay, we'll go to Fas or go to one of the big cities with big fuqaha and ask about it, whereas nowadays people are like, yeah, we're not going to ask anyone, we're just right about this stuff. So the mufti who was asked, Abu al-Abbas al-Qabbab, he then responds, he says, قرأت سؤالكم وقفت عليه. He says, I read your question and pondered over it. ورأيتكم أنكرتكم حال الرجل الذي وصفتموه بصفات قد كان لا نطمع بوجدان عشرها اليوم على وجه الأرض عند أحد من أهلها. He says that, I see that you have disavowed such a man. If he is like you describe him to be, I didn't think that we would ever be able to find a person with even the tenth of the qualities that you describe in him left in the earth. وَذَلِكَ هُدُ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And that is the guidance of Allah Ta'ala. He guides with it whoever He wills. وَهَذَا مِصْدَاقُ قَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. And this is the confirmation of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there will never cease to be a group of people from my ummah that openly stand for the haqq until the command of Allah comes, meaning until yawm al-qiyamah. وَهُمْ كَذَلِكَ وَبِهِمْ يُنزِلُ اللَّهُ الْمَطَرَ وَيَرْحَمُ الْعِبَادِ. He says that, and these people are as you describe this man to be, and those are the ones. Those are the ones truly because of whom Allah Ta'ala sends down the rain, and because of their barakah Allah Ta'ala has mercy on his slaves. قَدْ جَاءَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الْأَحَادِيثِ الصَّحِيحَةِ فِي فَضْلِ مَنْ أَحْيَى سُنَّةً عِنْدَ فَسَادِ الْأُمَّةِ مَا هُوَ مَعْلُومٌ وَمَشْهُورٌ. And it comes in the Sahih Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the many virtues of the person who will revive even one sunnah at the time of the fasad, at the time of the falling apart of the ummah, and those ahadith are well known, are well known and understood. من فساد الأمة أن صار القائم بهذه الأوصاف الجميلة المتحلى بهذه الشيم الحميدة بحيث يشك في فضله أو يسأل الناس عن فعله. And the fasad of the ummah has come to such a point when the person who stands with such with these mentioned qualities, these beautiful qualities, and the one who dons mashallah barakallahu fikum, dons these beautiful attributes and praiseworthy attributes, that people will now have shak, they'll have doubt with regards to that person's virtue, and they will also then have to ask about them. And then he quotes two lines of poetry. He says, لَقَدْ ظَهَرْتَ فَلَا تَخْفَى عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَكْمَهٍ لَا يَعْرِفُ الْقَمَرَ وَكَيْفَ يَصِحُّ فِي الْأَذْهَانِ شَيْءٌ إِذَا احْتَاجَ النَّهَارُ إِلَىٰ دَلِيلِ. So he says that you have come, and your coming has not been is not hidden to anyone, except for to the idiot who doesn't know what the moon is. And how can anything be right in the minds of the people if you say to somebody, look, it's daytime, and they ask you, what's the dalil? وَحَقٌ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ حَظُّهُ الْعَجْزُ عَنْ دَرَكِ الْمَعَانِي أَنْ يَعْتَرِفَ بِفَضْلِ أَهْلِهَا لَيْلًا يَجْتَمِعُ عَلَيْهِ التَّقْصِيرُ فِي الْعَمَلِ مَعَ جَحْدِ الْحَقِّ. So he says, uh,
So he says that it's a duty or responsibility on the one who isn't able to understand such a reality, that they should admit that virtue belongs to its people, so that so that they don't get crowded out because they were unable to do good deeds, and then on top of that, piled on top of that on their head is that they should deny the haqq. وَقُلْتُمْ فِي السُّؤَالِ أَنَّهُ أَتَاكُمْ بِأُمُورٍ لَمْ تَسْمَعُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَلَا آبَاؤُكُمْ وَقَدْ صَحَّ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاءِ. And so he says, you said in your question that he came to you with so many affairs that you've never heard about them before, neither you nor your fathers. And it is authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, Islam started as a strange affair and it will become strange again one day. So glad tidings to the strangers. وَجَاءَ عَنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّ مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ السَّاعَةِ أَنْ يَصِيرَ الْمَعْرُوفُ مُنْكَرًا. And it comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that from the signs of the last hour is that those things that are ma'roof, that are known to be good, people will start to say, we don't know what this is. This is something evil. فَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. وَجَاءَ عَنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقَابِضُ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِضِ عَلَى الْجَمْرِ وَلِلْعَامِلِ مِنْهُمْ أَجْرُ خَمْسِينَ مِنْكُمْ قِيلَ مِنْهُمْ قَالَ بَلْ مِنْكُمْ لِأَنَّكُمْ تَجِدُونَ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ أَعْوَانًا وَلَا يَجِدُونَ أَعْوَانًا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And he says that also it's narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that such a time will come over the people that the one who holds on to his deen will be like the one who is holding on to a cinder, to a burning red cinder. And the person who practices his deen on that day, that person will get the ajr of 50 of you. They said, radiallahu anhum, you mean 50 of them? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, 50 of you, because you find in your path toward good helpers, and they will be alone. They won't find anyone to help them. So, just a slight, I guess, comment regarding this hadith is that obviously it doesn't mean that they're people from the time that we live in, that they're going to be of a maqam higher than that of the Sahaba, much not even one of them, much less 50 of them, but meaning that the great amount of good deeds that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did, Allah Ta'ala will reward us for the small, slight things that we do at a rate higher than that. I shouldn't, and this is another thing actually, we shouldn't say it's us, because things haven't gotten that bad yet. They've become silly for sure, but like things will get a lot worse. Like you'll have like a time where Dajjal will say, okay, you pray, your family is going to starve to death. That's what's being talked about, right? So it's a sliding scale. And so he gives a reason for the same deeds being rewarded, even though the people come with far fewer of them, but the same deeds being rewarded less later on, because those people, they would help each other toward the khair, where sometimes a person will be in a situation, even amongst Muslims, where people will oppose each other toward the khair and help each other toward shar. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. وَأَمَّا سُؤَالُكُمْ عَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ عَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ وَكَوْنِهِ جُزْنَائِي كوني جزنائيًا جزنائيًا نسب ودينهم كما عرف فلا أعلم خلافا بين أحد من الأئمة أنه لا يشترط في عدالة الرجل أو فضله أو صلاحه أو عمله أو قيامه بالحق صلاح قبيلته وفضلهم عفوا. As for your question regarding this person being Juznai from the tribe of the Juznaya, and you said that their deen is, you know, is well known, how, you know, implying that it's well known how bad it is. He says, I know no difference of opinion amongst any of the imams that it's not a condition of a person's uprightness or his virtue or his being righteous or his actions being considered good, his good actions being considered good, or that or his standing for the truth. None of the imams have considered a condition for any of those things that their tribe has to be a good tribe or a virtuous tribe. So this is also like kind of in your face for a lot of people who from inside and outside of the ummah, who either accuse the teaching of being racist, or some people even from inside the ummah who wish it was, because there are some people who see themselves as better than other people and they start to justify it. And this is all nonsense. He's saying it's all bakwas. It doesn't matter. Wa kam min fadlin wa salihin kana mushrikan thumma manallahu alayhi bil huda wa sara min fudala'i hadhihi al umma wa qad qala Allah subhanahu inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum. Right, so the hadith is written in the middle of the 1300s, by the way. Or sorry, this fatwa. So then how many people, a righteous man, used to be even a mushrik. He once used to be a polytheist, and then Allah Ta'ala gifted him with guidance, and he turned into one of the great leaders of virtue of this ummah. And Allah Ta'ala, glory be to him, said in his book, "Verily the most noble and honorable amongst you with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the one who has the most taqwa, the one who fears Allah Ta'ala the most." Wal ahadith sahihatu al musarrihatu bi adm i'tibar an-nasabi fi at-taqwa, and the sahih hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are very clear regarding the lack of concern with a person's lineage when it comes to taqwa. Wa amma qawlukum innakum lam tasma'u ahada min ahli al-fadli was-salahi wa la ahada min ahli al-ilmi ankara tilka al-umur. فهذا قول من لم يرى أحدا من أهل العلم ولا أحدا من أهل الفضل والصلاح. He says, and as far as you're saying that you never heard of anyone from the people of knowledge and the people of righteousness ever disavowing or saying bad about these practices that this man says bad about, the reason for that is that you've never met a person of knowledge or a person of righteousness in the first place. Which is unfortunately the case also in our balad for a lot of people as well. Like, well, nobody ever said anything about this. Just because you never have met an alim before. That's all it means. وَجَمِيعُ مَا أَمَرَ بِهِ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ وَنَهَا عَنْهُ مَنْسُوسٌ لِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ عَلَى حَسْبِ مَا بِهِ أَمَرَ وَنَهَا عَنْهُ. He says, all those things that this person has commanded you or forbidden you to, all of them, they're explicit texts that the Ahlul Ilm will tell you about. With regards to those things he commanded and forbade. وَكُتُبُهُمْ لَمْ يَمْلَأْهَا إِلَّا ذَلِكَ. It says, and the books of the people of knowledge, they weren't filled up with anything except for with the things that you mentioned. وَلَوْ أَخَذْنَا فِي ذِكْرِ ذَلِكَ مَسْأَلَةً لَمَا وَسِعَهُ هَذَا الْمَكْتُوبِ. He said, if I were to write for you all of the things that the ulama wrote about those things in favor of what he said, then this this fatwa, it's not, you know, I can't write it long enough to fill all of those things. وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ الْعُلَمَاءُ تَصَانِيفُ فِي الْبِدَعِ الْمُحْدَثَةِ وَلَيْسَ فِي هَذَا السُّؤَالِ مَسْأَلَةُ أَمْرٍ بِهَا وَلَيْسَ فِي هَذَا السُّؤَالِ مسألة أمر بها هذا الرجل المذكور إلا وهي مشهورة عند العلماء ما عدا سماع كلام النساء فإني لا أعلم فيه إن كان لغير تلذذ منعا. So he says that all of those things that you mentioned that this man is commanding to, all of them are well known amongst the ulama, except for the only thing I can think of is that he forbade hearing the voices of women, and he says that I don't know of any of the ulama who forbade that from a person other than someone who takes some sort of perverse pleasure out of it. For that person, it's forbidden. Otherwise, it's not haram to hear the voice of a woman, like it is haram to see to look at the body of a woman, or vice versa, for that matter. So he says that that's the one thing that he says that maybe he's pushing it a little bit on. But even then, he says that there's a reason. You know, there is a condition in which even that can be correct. وإنما أعلمهم منعوا تلذذي بسماع كلام النساء وغنائهن. He says, all I know is that he
the Sharia forbids listening to women for the purpose of taking pleasure from that, or to listening to them singing. وَأَمَّا كَلَامُهُنَّ فِي غَيْرِ رَيْبَةٍ مِّنْ وَرَأِي حِجَابٍ فَلَا أُنْكِرُهُ. He says, as for listening to the voice of a woman from behind the hijab, without, just in a normal way, without any doubtful feeling or intention, then I don't consider that to be something that's haram. وَسَائِرُ مَا أَتَى بِهِ صَوَابٌ حَقٌ لَازِمٌ. And the rest of what he came with is correct, and it's the haq, and it's something, listening to it is binding on you. فَمَنْ أَعَانَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَعَضَدَهُ وَقَوَاهُ كَانَ مُعِينًا عَلَى إِحْيَاءِ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ آخِذًا بِحَظِّهِ مِمَّا جَاءَ فِي فَضْلِ إِحْيَاءِ السُنَّةِ. He says, so whoever helps him in those things and is an aid to him and gives him power and assistance in reviving the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that person has taken their share of that which comes with regards to the virtues of reviving the sunnah. وَمَنْ نَازَعَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ وَآذَاهُ وَصَرَفُهُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِمَّا ذُكِرَ هُنَا فَإِنَّهُ مُطْفِئٌ لِلسُنَّةِ وَخَامِدٌ لِلْحَقِّ وَمُعِينٌ عَلَى إِظْهَارِ الْبَاطِلِ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. And he says that whoever argues with him and harms him and turns him away from that which was mentioned in your question, that person is trying to extinguish the sunnah and snuff out the haqq and is assisting in the manifestation of falsehood. And then he quotes the book of Allah Ta'ala, and those people will know one day to which side have they turned themselves. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُكُمْ أَنَّ طَلَبَتَنَا يَقْدَحُونَ فِي مَا أَتَى بِهِ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ وَيُنْصِبُونَهُ إِلَى الْبِدْعِ فَلَمْ يَزَلْ هَذَا مِنْ شَأْنِ أَهْلِ الْفَضْلِ يُسَلَّطُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ يُؤْذِيهِمْ لِيَكُونَ ذَلِكَ أَعْظَمَ لِأُجُورِهِمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And as far as you saying that some of the students of knowledge, they say what this man is saying is a bid'ah, then know that it has always been the affair of the people of virtue that Allah Ta'ala has put over them or put against them those people who harm them, so that their ajr will be increased with Allah Most High. وَأَمَّا الْحُكْمُ الشَّرْعِيُّ فَمَنْ آذَاهُ وَبَدَّعَهُ فَإِنَّ قَائِلَ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْمُبْتَدِعُ وَحُكْمُهُ الْأَدُبُ بِالْضَرْبِ وَالسِّجْنِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. And says, as far as what the ruling is for the person who harms this such a man, or says that he is a person of bid'ah, indeed the one who says such a thing, that one is the impious innovator, and the ruling regarding them is that they should be taught adab, which is a euphemism for punishment also in the Arabic language. They should be taught adab by being beaten and jailed. Obviously, we cannot beat and jail people here. If we try, then that's going to be the end of the ribat. And, you know, that's not what we're here for, mashallah. This is a time when they still had the qadi in place and they still had, like, shar'i rule, which is definitely not what we have in America or really in most of the Muslim world, for that matter. But, you know, for that, time and place, that's what the mufti, he says that the judges of your land should beat and jail these people until they stop lying about the deen. But it is telling to see that that's what such a person deserves according to the fuqaha of the millah. He says, فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَذَى مُسْلِمًا نَكَلَ فَكَيْفَ مَنْ أَذَى مُسْلِمًا قَائِمًا بِالْحَقِّ دَاعِيًا إِلَيْهِ. That person who harms a Muslim, that person is a fail. So what do you think about the one who harms the one who is standing for the haqq and calling toward it? وَهَذَا جَوَابُ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ عَنْهُ مُجْمَلًا وَأَمَّا عَلَى التَّفْصِيلِ فَسَى تَدَّعِي ذَلِكَ تَأْلِيفًا قَائِمًا بِنَفْسِهِ. And this is a kind of a short summarized answer to your question. As for a detailed answer to your question, that would require like just a whole nother, like a whole nother literary work. وهذا إنما هو جواب على تقدير صحة ما قيد في السؤال. And he says, I'm only giving you this answer, assuming that all the things that you said in your question are the way that they are. وبالله التوفيق ولا شريك له بالله التوفيق عفوا لا شريك له and all tawfiq is with Allah, he has no partner. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. كتب وكتب أحمد القباب خار الله تعالى له ولطف به بيمنه. This is written by Ahmed al-Qabab. May Allah ta'ala pick what's best for him and show lutf, gentleness to him with his barakat. وأجاب عنه السيد الفقيه المدرس العالم القدوة الجليل المحقق المفتي أبو عمران موسى العبدوسي نفعه الله ونفع به في السؤال بعينه نصه بعد الحمد الحمد لله. So this is this still happens in the old days. It used to happen. It still happens to this day. Sometimes a mufti will write a fatwa, and he'll send it around for review from the other muftis to see what is your opinion. They'll make mashra with one another, and so Abu Imran is like the alpha, like top carnivore of like of muftis and fas. So he writes his own like little sentence like on top of that, you know, his endorsement, so to speak. He says that the faqih, the teacher, the alim, the leader, the majestic muhaqqiq, mufti Abu Imran, he says in regards to the specific question that was asked to him after saying alhamdulillah, الجواب كل ما قاله هذا الرجل الذي ذكرتم هو الحق والذي لا يجوز أن يعدل عنه والطاعن عليه آثم والله ولي التوفيق ولي التوفيق بفضله كتبه موسى بن محمد بن معطي لطف الله تعالى به sorry لطف الله تعالى به. And so he adds his endorsement to this fatwa. He says that everything that this man that you mentioned said, it is the haq and it is impermissible for you to veer away from it. And the one who says that this person is wrong, that person is a sinner. And Allah Ta'ala in his hands is all tawfiq that he gives by his grace. Musa bin Muhammad, written by Musa bin Muhammad bin Mu'ti. May Allah Ta'ala show his gentleness to him. And then there's another what you call endorsement. وَأَجَابَ أَيْضًا عَنْهُ الْفَقِيهُ الْقَاضِي الْمُدَرِّسُ الْمُفْتِي الْمُشَاوِرُ الْقُدْوَى أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ وَنَفَعَ بِهِ بِمَا نَصَّهُ بِخَطِّهِ. And also the faqih and the judge. And to be a qadi in the old days, it's not a simple matter. It's like a big deal, you know. It's a really big deal. Like maybe only like, you know, in a city that has thousands of ulama, maybe only one of them or two or three of them maximum will be appointed as judges. So the qadi, the faqih, the teacher, the mufti, the mushawir, the one that even the king calls upon to make mashra with, the leader Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Abdul Mu'min radiyallahu anhu, may Allah ta'ala benefit us from his ilm. He wrote in his own hand, ma ufti bihi, or ma afta bihi al-faqihani al-jalilani al-mukramani sahihu la ishkala fihi. Wa katab Muhammad ibn Abdul Mu'min latafallahu bihi wa wafaqahu wa sadadahu. That he wrote in his own hand that what the fatwa that the two above mentioned mashayikh wrote, two above mentioned majestic and honored mashayikh wrote is correct, and there's no doubt about it. written by Muhammad bin Abdul Mu'min. May Allah Ta'ala show his gentleness to him and give him tawfiq and make his feet firm. So I wanted to share that also as a kind of like a lesson in our fiqhi enrichment about what the point of this knowledge is, this ilm is, that it's there for islah. It's not necessarily going to be something that's easy and peachy and going to win friends and help you win friends and influence people. But the haqq is the haqq, mashallah, and whoever stands with it, Allah Ta'ala keeps that person in their protection, no matter where their background is from or what their what their circumstances are. Allah Ta'ala will raise a certain people to do that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, make us all people who learn the ilm and value it and put premium on not just learning it, but first learning it and then practicing what we learn to the ability that the extent of the ability that we're able to. So I after making mashra with some people, although many people are enjoying reading this other book, we're going to maybe put it in the fridge for a while, just because it gets so technical so quickly that it may not, I kind of realize it may be a little bit beyond our scope. But inshallah, from next week, we'll start reading the Risala again.